And those things that did work are the things I'm going to share with you today. Your permission slip to raise your standard and live an even more amazing life. Now, if you're feeling like that's way out of the ball game and you're really suffering with like pain in your body, guilt, shame, anxiety, depression, like these emotions run a lot of people's lives, and that's not by accident. Our culture is set up to keep us in those emotions because it's easier to control people when they're in those emotions. But if you're on an awakening journey, you have recognized that those are there. You have taken the most crucial step to get out of that, which is to become aware that it's actually happening.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast. Just tell me, to get me just in the zone of...
Yeah, for sure. So the Joygasmic,
please, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, the Joygasmic Life is the name of the podcast, and it's all about how to live a more joyful life, and specifically for moms, women who have, part-time side businesses, full-time side businesses, kids they're homeschooling, you know, women who have taken on probably a few too many things because of their values and their ideals, and they're wanting to create a really extraordinary life for their children, but often find out that they're like burned out, or I call it like mom Hulk mode. It's like, they lose their stuff and get really grumpy. Yeah. And I see that you're like happiness expert and have been doing this for 30 years. So that's really cool for me.
Yeah, really long time. That's how old I am.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
What you're doing must be working. You got a big smile on.
Yeah, I'm a pretty positive person. So hopefully that will come across as we talk. But yeah, I'm really into happiness and how to be more intentional about your happiness, and just really taking control over it and being really conscious about what we do. So that's really my thing, and I love working with women to let go of all those limiting beliefs and thoughts that we have that hold us back from being incredible. So yeah, that's the gist of what I do. So I hope that's going to really resonate with your audience.
That's awesome. I'm just checking in on my headset. I've got it.
Tech is okay. I really hope the internet is okay. You know what it's like just now? It just drops and stuff. And
yeah, sometimes.
Okay. And my cat will not meow too much. He's totally like chatting.
You know what? We're all human. Things happen. I'm not too worried about it. I can't hear him if he's actively meowing right now.
Not right now, no. He's okay. He's just eaten. And I do have a five-year-old that I hope is going to be going to sleep soon. But we could get like photobombed or something, just so you know.
Totally fine. I do record the audio, the video, and I do have like a far distant sort of plan of packaging in that some way, but I don't have anything that I do with it right now. Sometimes I'll take little video chunks out to do promotion, but generally it's just the audio. And if something happens, I do go through and post-produce, so I edit out, you know, if we have a 5-minute conversation with your son, because that's what's needed in that moment, like I can just take that out, or we could leave it in if it fits with the flow and demonstrate.
It probably makes a lot more sense anyway. He's pretty clued up.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's amazing to see the children that are raised by mamas who are on this path and wanting to make better children, so.
Yeah, it's mostly more that he's into rock music, so that's mostly what he'll chat about.
Okay,
that's mostly where my educational work is going, like who's the best rock stars in the world, you know, this is what you need to know.
Great.
So but also like maybe we might freeze or something, so
yeah, if that happens, I'll just be like, hey, you know, hold up, you know, we had a freeze, and if the audio video becomes too much of a challenge with the quality, we can just turn the video off, and that often helps with the audio as well.
I'm right next to the router and I'm all connected, but you know, just everyone's on just now, and now everyone starts streaming Netflix at this time of night. Well, for us it's nighttime.
I'm in Michigan, US right now, so near Detroit. And you, where are you at?
So I originally come from Scotland, but I live in Munich, Germany at the moment. So
okay.
I'm in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it's almost 9 o'clock at night here.
Got it. Thanks for making time in the evening.
Not at all. It's the best time. It's when it's the quietest.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Right, this is Angel.
So sweet.
He's named after the character in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you remember this very old series, because he's 17, so that's
got it.
So he's named after a vampire.
Oh, that's funny.
Aren't you wee man? Yeah.
That's great.
Cool.
That's great. Wow. So I'm still really excited. I reread your sort of your bio and everything before we hopped in the call. I was just like, wow, like you have been doing this for almost 30 years, which is amazing. Yeah. So tell me, how did you get started doing the, you know, this kind of work, teaching around happiness, life coaching, all that? How did that start? How did that happen?
Sure. I'd love to share my story with you. I guess I'll just do it in a very brief nutshell, the past stuff, but I grew up in Scotland, and I grew up with a father who was very depressed all of my childhood and still is. He's 84 years old now, and he's really struggled with his mental health and depression. And we never really spoke about it. We never really discussed it in our house. And he never did anything with intention, but just by virtue of how he was, he often would be in his own head or not really listening to me or cut me off, that kind of stuff. And of course, as a child, I internalized that as, you know, I've got nothing to say. I'm not good enough. I really internalized it as these sort of really negative belief systems. I had quite a lot of those. And I grew up feeling very, very anxious, very, very shy. I know you're smiling. You'll be like, really? I come across that way, don't I?
Yeah, I was smiling at your cute cat. Made this like great face.
My cute cat. He's brilliant. But so I grew up really, really anxious, really shy, these really strong limiting beliefs that I'm not good enough. I felt like I was very, very ugly. That didn't really come from my father. I don't know. Well, that's a whole other story, that one, I think, you know. But I had all these very limiting beliefs. And I think it was no surprise that I went and studied psychology. I had to go make sense of what this was all about. And as soon as I started doing that, it was like, oh, this is it. I just love this, understanding people. And but even even when I was at university, I couldn't even go and meet people. I couldn't even go into the canteen. I was so self-conscious, you know. So this really followed me into, well, I'd probably say into my 30s, you know. So I really struggled a long time with really trying to work on this. So I kind of had two paths, this sort of personal journey that took me into that and exploring all the tools and techniques that I could use on myself. And I'm happy to say now I'm really far on in that journey and a very much more confident, happy person. But through that journey, I realized I really wanted to help other women who feel the same way. And my plan had to be to go into psychology, but the way it worked, it was very difficult initially to get into the course. So I started volunteering and I started going down a different line. I started working in the voluntary sector, in the charity sector in Scotland. And I loved it because this was amazing. I could go into people's homes and talk to them and really talk to them, really build up a relationship, build an amazing relationship with them. And every time I went into people's homes, the whole ethos of how we worked was not just to help people get rid of like feeling anxiety or depression, but it was much more. It was to really live life. And that was really my passion. Not just that you no longer felt not as anxious or as depressed, but like a real quality of life. I was going into people's houses and they were just existing. There was nothing there. And I guess with my own personal experience, I could really empathize and understand what it's like when you have negative thoughts and limiting beliefs. And this just started my journey. This is my forte. And whenever I ask people, what does recovery mean to you? They would say, I want to be happy. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And so we break it down. And I was coaching. I didn't realize at the time that's what it was, but I was coaching people.
Yeah.
And so this just really drove my passion for happiness and to really support people to let go of those limiting beliefs, to really change those negative thoughts. And just such a strong belief that you don't have to be defined by your past, that you really can create the life that you want, really go for the dreams that you have, fulfill that potential and not be limited by like thinking, oh, this is just who I am, or this is my life, or that stuff happens for other people. Really passionate that you don't get stuck in life because of that. So that's where I am. And this is 30 years later. And I'm still, as you can tell, I get really excited and passionate about it. So I'm so fortunate I get to do a job that I just love.
Yeah. I mean, I feel a lot of resonance in that. You know, I also started that journey because of my own personal challenges and from this desire to help other people not suffer in the same way that, you know, we had suffered. Sounds like we have a lot of things in common in that journey.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's really beautiful to see that. And I'm curious about you know, having worked with so many people, it's like, what are some of the themes that you see from people when it's not just surviving, but really thriving, really moving into like what makes them happy? Are there certain things that seem to be universal among people?
In terms of what they experience when they come to me and what they want to change? A lot of really common stuff is that a very strong common belief that they don't feel good enough. It's a very, very strong belief of that, very limiting, that no matter what they do, they're just not good enough. I'm really affected by that, really stuck by that. And within that, that's a sort of an umbrella one, you know, overarching one that most people have. But within that, very limiting beliefs about, you know, just not being able to be successful, not being good enough, never meeting the one. So many different aspects, but really just things of just not being enough, really, in general. A lot of people really believing that this is who I am, you know, that, you know, you are an anxious person, or you, you know, just being labeled by that, like just accepting like, well, this is just me, you know, like I've always been a bit of a worrier, I've always been a bit nervous, or, I do get a bit low sometimes, you know, and like, well, that's just who I am, that kind of feeling. And a big one that comes up as well is that feeling like, they've wasted a lot of time. You know, like so much time has gone by, and like when they come to me, they're like, this is not where I thought I would be at this age. You know, often it's like, you know, I'm 35 and, you know, I thought I'd have the career and the love and the babies and whatever. And, you know, so just feeling that, but this sort of sense of like, I've wasted a lot of time. But in turning that in a very critical way, not just in a sadness, but in a very kind of critical ways. So I hear a distinct lack of self-compassion and kindness when people talk to themselves, a very, very harsh inner critic. So that's generally when people come to me, or that they feel that life is okay, but it's not great. I've got a job and I've got the family and, you know, but it just doesn't feel enough. Like there's definitely this misalignment and like falling, I guess often not a sense of following your own real purpose or meaning in life, or just not having clarity, knowing that you want to change, but just not actually knowing what to change or how to change,
that it's possible, right?
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that the women I work with come to me with. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and I just think, wow, you just seem amazing. I can really see the potential in people. Just so limited by the thoughts and beliefs, which I recognize because I used to have them as well. And I still have some of them, of course. We all have them, different stages of our journey in life. You know, I still challenge things. Doing stuff like this is a challenge for me. You know, this is me expanding my comfort zone to talk, you know, and stuff. So, that's the kind of stuff that people come and they're really, I think often people are either really, really ready. So they're actually like, more than ready, like they want it yesterday, you know, they're just so desperate now because they finally realized they want the change. And I also work with a lot of people who they really want to change, but there's a bit of them that feels like, but maybe it wouldn't happen for me, you know. I would like to think there would be that change, but maybe me, there's something at fault with me and I can't change that. But they're there because I think they see me, they see my story, they, you know, and they know it happens, and it's just, but it's very hard to connect with that and to imagine, or to be able to imagine what that would be like if you've only lived a certain way for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if your life has been characterized by worry or anxiety or depression, and that's been a defining feature of your life to that point, it can be really challenging to go, okay, and now I'm going to work on that. You know, there's even this concept of happiness set point, which is, you know, you're about this happy and you're going to stay about this happy. And I remember when I read about that, I was like, oh, that's great. I don't have to worry about being happier. You know, it's kind of like a little bit of, oh, whatever's going on, and like this mediocrity or this depression is like, well, maybe that's just where I'm wired to be happy. And getting to a point where it's like, actually, like I see other people who are significantly happier than me. And perhaps it's because they're connected to their purpose. Perhaps it's because they're, you know, they don't have some of the, you know, I continue, I'm thinking about my past self, it was like, I continued to be like, well, I can't do that, or I couldn't start a podcast, for example. It's a great example, because I was scared of what people would think of me. And it's like, oh, okay. So do some work with those beliefs, do some work around that. And then go, oh, well, now I'm doing that. And there is this sort of ever continual journey of you normalize the things that used to be undoable. I'm like, oh, it's Thursday, I've got a podcast call, you know? Whereas 6 months ago, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, I was like totally jittery about it. And so then there is this journey of like setting new goals and changing, continuing to change that mindset of anything's possible, challenge that. One of the coaches for the book that we're launching this month in May 2020 is
exciting.
She set out a goal when she was like, when she's like seven, she's like, I want to be on the cover of Vogue. She's turning 50 this year. She isn't a celebrity. She isn't anything. She's like, I want to be on the cover of Vogue and show everyday women that everyday women can be on the cover of Vogue. And it's like, oh, like this is so juicy, you know? She's like, I'll probably get a lot of no's along the way, but why not try and see what happens? And it's like, wow, that mindset is so powerful and so different from what most people are raised with, which is you can't, you won't, you shouldn't, you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. Even if you try, you'll fail, you know? I'm curious about your perspective.
There's so much cultural and stuff, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm curious about your perspective about trying again, you know, say if somebody's had several, you know, losing weight is a really great example, or trying to be happier, really great examples. You know, people have made efforts, but they find themselves back where they started off. And you know, if you have an understanding of how the subconscious works, a lot of that is from the subconscious just reverts back to the existing programming. And what you're doing and a lot of coaches do is work with that underlying programming so people can get different results. I'm curious about people who want to try again, but can't even oomph, you know, find that oomph to even go, oh, it's worth trying again. What would you say to somebody who is in that spot?
I get a lot of clients coming and they're there with me, and but they'll say, yeah, but you know, what are you going to do? Or like, is it going to work? Because I've tried so many things over and over again. And what I say first and foremost is often you have tried stuff and you often have made progress. And you probably did it enough that you needed to do at the time. You know, so often like we work, you know, like I work a lot with like anxiety for a start, you know, like so people say, well, I dealt with something, but why is it coming back now? And it's like, well, you know, different stages in your life trigger off things again, or maybe you dealt with it to a degree that felt enough then or was good enough for that point, but maybe now, you know, in a different part of your journey again, that triggers that off, or you realize it wasn't really dealt with fully, or you didn't really go deep enough. There's a lot of different reasons why things come back again. You know, I think of like becoming a mom, you know, there's a lot in my childhood that I've worked through, but then becoming a mom just brought all this stuff as soon as I had my child, and I was like, oh gosh, here we go again, there's more stuff. I thought I dealt with it, you know, but there's things that do trigger, you know, memories and emotions, and makes you view things differently as well. And so I really do say, like, you have, you know, people have always done work on stuff, even if you feel like you're not where you want to be or you feel like you're slipping. I don't feel that you're ever going backwards. I think it just feels like you're not where you want to be. So be positive that you're continually working, because like you and I are doing the same. We're not like, our lives are not perfect. I don't live in a happiness bubble and like, you know, I'm just floating around going, everything's amazing. You know, I'm constantly working on my brain like a muscle, the same way, you know, if you were going to go and run a marathon, you would train for that marathon, and then you would keep training until the next marathon. You wouldn't just stop and be like, hey, did the training, I'll just wait till next year, you know. So it's constantly working on yourself, constantly growing. It's that growth mindset, isn't it? Everything we do, we learn from. Everything is an experience, and different parts of our journey we tap into different things. And often it can also be simply things like just being ready and open to something at the right time, or it making sense. Because I've got a lot of clients who've said, like, people explained this before and I never really understood it, but now it makes sense. Like, they're ready, or it finally clicks, or it's just being with the right coach, the right person, you know, where you just click and it resonates and you just think, yeah, this is it. So there's so many reasons. Don't please don't be put off if you feel that you've tried and tried and tried. Sometimes it's just the right combination of factors come together. And when you're ready and you're with someone that you trust and believe in that will be on that journey with you, you can achieve anything that you want to achieve.
I can't speak enough about how important it is that you trust the person you're working with. You know, I remember in my NLP training, they talked about how there's sort of three things that cause transformation. And one of them is trusting the person you're working with. The other is having a ritual. It doesn't even really matter. I mean, there are some tools that are more effective than others, but having, you know, that person that you trust take you through a process. Huge, right? And then there's the actual willingness to do the work. And if you've got all three of those, like, anything is possible. If you're missing one of those, the right person can help you gain those other things, you know, like the trust or the ritual. And there is a combination of, oh, okay, all of these things combined, you know, the maybe it's this piece plus that piece plus that piece. And, you know, you weren't willing to work on the underlying piece, or you weren't ready to work on that underlying piece until you had some of the other pieces in alignment, like building a big, you know, like a puzzle or something. It's like, oh, I can see now. I can see there are still pieces missing in the puzzle before I was all zoomed in. Yeah.
So don't lose hope. Don't be put off that you feel that you keep trying, because I understand that journey of, it's exhausting, isn't it? It's emotionally and physically exhausting to constantly keep trying things, to keep working on yourself, to not feel that you're where you want to be. But don't give up, because although it's difficult, the rewards at the other side are just priceless. So just find, you know, find the person that you click with, find the person that resonates with you, find the person that inspires you and has the tools to support you, and, you know, go for it, because when that happens, when that magic happens, it's just worth it.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for having support like that, you know, especially for people who grew up in abusive situations, whether that was physically intensely abusive, or whether it was just like not being supported in their passions, not being supported in their dreams, or they went through a public school system, which I think is a form of trauma that most people have gone through, you know, it's my humble, it's my opinion, but, you know, people go through these experiences and they come out of them being like, oh, I have to do this. This is the only option for me. When really, as unlimited human beings, we have so much potential. And so for some people, working with a coach is the first time in their lives where they're actually presented with unconditional love, acceptance, empathy, connection, somebody working with them to become a better person, you know, and it's so huge to have those things. And if you don't have people like that in your life, because a lot of people don't, they've got negative Nellies and people who are cutting them down and jealousy and cattiness, especially women. There's a lot of cattiness between a lot of women. So having somebody who's really got your back is huge. It's game changing. It's game changing because all of a sudden somebody believes in you. Even if you don't, somebody else believes in you.
And someone that sees you, actually sees you. Mm. I think a lot of women I work with feel quite invisible a lot of the time. And so when someone just really sees you and sees this different version, or perhaps the version that you'd love to be, and someone looks at you and sees that, you know, I know when that's happened for me, it's almost quite overwhelming, you know. So it is really important to just get that connection with someone. And also, like, with the way I work is, of course, coaching is often about, like, you know, looking towards the future, but I like to look backwards as well initially to help people really unlock the negative thoughts and change it into positives. And when you look at your journey, a lot of people haven't really done that in depth, really looked at what has shaped them, who has shaped them. And I love, like, I'm based here in Munich, Germany, and I work with women all around the world. And what I love, like, here in Munich, it's like 30% expat. So, you know, I work with all these incredible nationalities. And so you hear things like, you know, like, depending on where you were born and, you know, when you were born and, like, your parents, you know. So if I work with someone from Poland whose parents came through the war, there's a set of beliefs that can be transferred onto you, you know, that were very real. Life is hard. Life is tough. You know, there's, you know, that kind of message mm-hmm. comes across, you know. But if I work with someone from the US, there's maybe this pressure of like, you can be whatever you want to be and you should achieve this by this point. Or, you know, I work with Italians and it's like, you must get married and have children and do this. You know, I'm generalizing, but, you know, like there's a lot of these cultural and social pressures and things that are ingrained, never mind like the whole whatever your parents have gone through and their parents went through and all the things that either are overtly said to us or inadvertently, like in my case it was very inadvertently done, you know. Mm-hmm. There's all of those, plus, you know, gosh, we talk about, you know, school and, you know, who had a great time at school, I don't know, but, you know, that's a whole other podcast for me. You know, but there's just all these layers and layers and layers of stuff. And when you unpack that and you see where it comes from, it's like, well, no wonder you have these thoughts and beliefs. They come mm-hmm. from somewhere. It's not you. It's not that there's a fault in you or you've just, you can't think a certain way. These things have been put into you and these suggestions have been made to you. Even like when you mentioned there the happiness point, yeah, you know, that's actually quite a powerful suggestion that you can get to this point. I mean, that's like, that's pretty, actually quite limiting. You know, like I'm kind of going, you know, I always say like, let's not settle for fine, let's go for amazing. You know, like who wants to go for fine? You know, like mm-hmm. let's go for awesome. You know, you've got one life, let's go for it. So, you know, there's all these limiting beliefs that are put into us, all these messages we pick up everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so like once you understand that and then you find the right person to work with, it's entirely possible to change things around.
I want to touch in on invisibility because you mentioned that, and it's a theme for me this month is becoming uninvisible. And so it's like sparky for me. I'm doing a book launch, you got some other things going on, it's like time to become uninvisible. And I'm curious, like what are some of the themes that wrap around that you see often, or could you give a story of somebody that you've worked with that was moving through that journey of going from feeling invisible to being seen?
Gosh, you know, like the one that really leaps out at me, I don't know if it'll tie in with what you're saying, but just when I worked in Scotland, I actually, although I worked in a mental health team, I actually headed up a whole service for women who had experienced trauma or were currently experiencing trauma. So I worked a lot with survivors of childhood sexual abuse and the whole spectrum of abuse. And I remember working with a woman really intensively, and when I first met her, she was in a really tough place, and we built up a really great relationship, and we worked really well, and she really went from like really not wanting to live and not be there because she had just been treated. She'd been abused as a child. She had been in an abusive marriage. You know, she had just been used and abused her whole life and just felt that she was nothing. And I don't see her, but I know she is still incredible. And she was such an amazing woman with so much potential, you know, and I really liked her so much. And so we spent so much time together, working together. And, you know, to give you a brief overview from there, she really, you know, she set out on her own and she had her children and she got a job and she, you know, she really went far. She went from like not wanting to exist to really becoming visible. But I do remember a time sitting in our sessions together, and she used to often say to me, "Don't you ever leave. Don't ever leave, Julie. Don't ever, you know, leave this job," you know? And I remember at first being a bit like, "Oh, don't be silly. You know, I can't promise I'll be here forever. You know, I might go and do something else." And I remember one day just really like, "Hang on, I'm reacting to this, right? What's this all about?" And she said, "When I'm with you, I feel visible, and I'm really scared when you go, I'll become invisible again." And that was just like, you know, like for the first time, she felt visible, she felt seen, she felt valued. And that was, and I think that was one of the first times I really got that sense of what that meant, you know, like to feel truly invisible. You know, we have different layers and we often have different perceptions of how people see us, but she felt completely invisible and insignificant. And through our work together, she really grew. And then she did develop and became more visible and was really part of the community and part of, you know, so many different aspects of life, and was working and affecting so many people and grew her network and her social network and everything. And by the time I left, she was absolutely fabulous and she's totally fine. She coaches fine without me. Yeah. But I don't know if that's a good illustration, but it's one that just when you say that word, just really, it just always stands out in my mind when someone directly showed me that, explicitly told me that they felt visible and it was so scary that they might disappear again. And so obviously my work was then to make sure that she had that resilience to stay visible, to stay strong with or without me.
Yeah, and to pass sort of that, you know, often we, the participant, the client sort of externalizes and goes, oh, that person's got that. That person has that thing that I want. So I'm going to work with them and get that thing. And our jobs as coaches is really to turn that around and be like, you can only see this because you want it so much and because you have the potential to do it. So let's just, you know, by the time we're done working together, let's have wrapped that around so that you've got your own little version of me or you inside of you. It's just like, come on, you can do it. It's okay. Keep going. You know, this little like cheerleader inside.
Yeah, you've got your own internal cheerleader. It's not my voice you hear anymore. Who wants to hear my voice all the time? You know, you want your own really super positive own inner voice. And that's, yeah, that's what I do a lot of. Because a lot of my clients, when they come initially, it's like, you can see through a session, they leave really buoyant, but then that tails off in between. And that's what I'm always working on, is like that time gets shorter and shorter until it's like their own inner voice that's like, yeah, you can do this, you know? That positive voice in there.
Yeah.
You know, drives out any negativity.
Yeah. And this idea of like not being defined by our past, but being who we want to be, heading in the direction that we want to be. I imagine, you know, that mindset of the past defines me, the past defines like what's possible is in and of itself really challenging, because it's such a, you know, such a narrow mindset that stops being able to see all of these other potential futures that are, they're infinite. There's so many variations. You know, did I comb my hair this way? Did I comb my hair that way? Did I meet that person? Did I not meet that person? Did I hop on the subway? Did I not hop on the subway? Did I stay home? Did I not stay? Whatever. It's like hundreds of thousands of millions of permutations of what your future holds. And when you go, oh, the past defines what it is that I'm being, all of a sudden you just cut off all of those. And I think, to a certain degree, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, that the cutting off from those potentials is part of what creates depression. It's like feeling like there's no possibility for your life is a depressing thought.
Absolutely. And I think sadly it's still reinforced in people. My experience of working in services was that, you know, people were often labeled, you are a depressed person, you're an anxious person, or even you have a personality disorder, you know, horrific's that, you've been through horrific abuse, and then people tell you there's something wrong with you, you know, like, that just really, don't start me off on that one, you know, but people are really told, this is who you are, and people often get that really mixed message of like, this is how I feel, but people tell me, oh, this is how I'm meant to be, and it doesn't fit, so we really kind of get suppressed and really contained. And I think then that, you know, we become, you know, what we all talk about being in a comfort zone. It might not be a great place to be, but at least it's what you know. And it's super scary to try and think that that could be anything different. It's often very impossible. If you're not surrounded by people that say you can be anything you want to be, then you accept, well, this is my life. This is it. You know, this is all I can have. This is all that I'm entitled to, or I'm worth, or I can't imagine that I have anything to offer, or I can't see how I would change it. I mean, it's not easy when you're in something, and I've been in that several times in my life where I've been in situations, you know, where I could be working with other people to help them change, but I'm in something that's like, you know, how did you not see this, Julie? You know, you know, like, it's really hard when you're in it, and it's really hard to do it by yourself. I think it's really hard to get deep enough by yourself. You can read books, you can do everything, watch everything, but it's really hard to sit down on your sofa by yourself and go deep enough about how you want to change stuff, or to really explore, you know, what is it I want to do with my life. It's really hard to do that on your own. We all know that. So yeah, we are really contained by that and limited by that. And it just, either it'll be that you meet somebody that you think, right, that person can help me, or I want to be like them, or you get to a crisis point, you get to a point where you think,
yep,
it's got to go one way or the other. And that's what happened with me. Was, you know, I came out of a very difficult relationship, and I, you know, I already had, although I was really great professionally myself, I was still on that journey of working on myself. And mm-hmm. I remember that ended. I remember literally just sitting on my sofa, and I think someone had said, "Oh, let's go out" or something. I hadn't been out socially for years. I hadn't done anything. And I was just like, I'm terrified. And I remember just sitting thinking, like, what do I do? And like, what's more scary, to go out there or to stay the way I am? And then I was just like, wow, my little cat was sitting next to me, you know, and sort of looked at him, and I'm like, it's more scary to stay like this. I don't mm-hmm. want to be like this, you know. I've got to move forwards. I know when I share that, it resonates with a lot of women. It's like, mm-hmm. I feel stuck, but I don't want to. I want to change, and I want things to be different.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally resonate with that experience. It's like, you know, those turning points in life where it's like, I can't keep doing this. I have to do something different. And when I work with people, I always say, you know, you got to raise the standards on what that bottom of the barrel moment looks like. Just change a lot faster, right? Because that bottom of the barrel moment could be like 5 tubs of ice cream in 6 weeks later after your breakup. 5 tubs of ice cream every night, you know, that could be your bottom of the barrel moment. Mm-hmm. But as my lovely ex taught me, some people's bottom of the barrel is a lot lower than that. You know, some people, you got to go really deep in order to hit that bottom. And the sooner you go, whoa, okay, bottom, I thought the bottom was way down there, but I'm going to like just lift it up and make the bottom here. The bottom is like my current experience. Don't want to get any worse than where I'm at. Then all of a sudden you have that same sort of ignition energy to make changes mm-hmm. as you would, you know, going and living lived experience of things. And I think we can also use other people's journeys as that, you know, when people have really challenging experiences and they share those stories, and you go, oh my God, I never want to be that, but I can see how I'm on a trajectory for that right now. Now I need to make change. And that is super powerful to be able to have.
I really think as well that most people have something in them that they do want things to be different. I always had that. No matter how negative I was thinking, how low my self-esteem was, there was always something in me of pushing forwards, you know, like, I managed to run a mental health service, you know, I didn't stay the bottom worker, you know, I ran the whole thing, you know, I was able to do stuff, you know, I now live in Germany, you know, like, you know, I've done so many things. So, but I do believe, virtually all of the time, people have something that they want to live. I would go in and see people, and I still do work with people who are actively suicidal, have really strong suicidal thoughts. However, they're still here. And I do believe most of the time it's because they don't want to not be here anymore, but they don't see what other options there are. But they're mm-hmm. hanging on because they really want it to be different. And that's where I've come in. I've spent a lot of time working with people actively suicidal, and you know, people want things to be different. They just don't know how to do it, or they don't have the tools, or they don't have the support. And once mm-hmm. that's in place, people really hang on to that. And I think most of us do have this inner drive to succeed, to do well, to be happy, to make connection, to have a different life. We just need that support to do it.
If somebody was listening who's actively in that suicidal realm, you know, as I myself have been in, you may have, or you've definitely dealt with many people who have been in that space, what would you say to them, you know, to just be that sort of that first, like, let's turn around and there's something else possible?
Yeah, I think it's okay to acknowledge how bad you feel and the reasons why. Again, it will not be for no reason, you know, it will not be for no reason at all. You have probably faced so many things in your life. And when you're really caught with the negative thinking, it's really hard to talk yourself out of that. You get really stuck in a loop, and it's very debilitating. But if there's a bit of you that really wants it to be different, is you can. It's a taking the tiniest steps, tiny steps at a time. The tiniest little step that you can do just to move forwards. Every little inch counts. And reach out, find someone that will understand that. I know it's hard to talk about how you feel, and not everyone is able to understand or to support you in that. People are scared of that conversation. But speak up and find someone, whether it's a professional, whether it's a medical staff, a friend. When you open up, you realize you're not alone, because as soon as you start sharing your experiences, it's amazing the number of people that have felt the same way or are feeling the same way or know someone. You know, we're all on a journey. Even if you perceive people to have amazing lives, everyone's got their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's had their struggles. You know, everyone's got a story to tell. So please, please, please reach out and find someone. Find someone that you can talk to that will hear you, that will make you visible, who will help you on your journey, who will support you. Because there's amazing people out there. There's lots of people like us who... Yeah.
Thousands, hundreds
who
of
really
thousands.
Genuinely care and really want to. Yeah.
Really want to help people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right now, like May 2020, there's a lot of people who are offering free sessions around sort of mental health and stress management and suicidal ideation and all of those things. There's a lot of people who are offering that kind of support. Yeah.
There's
and it does get
loads of people.
It does get better too, you know, if you take those steps and you do that healing work and you look at those root causes and you resolve them, which is relatively simple. It may not seem simple to do, but it is relatively simple to do when you have the right kind of support, whether that's psychological or nutritional or environmental or whatever that might be. It's relatively easy to change those things when when you have the support. You know.
Yeah, the tools and techniques that we use, they're not particularly difficult or complicated. I wish there was a secret to it, but there's not really. They're all quite straightforward and quite simple. No one's going to make you do anything really complicated or difficult. It's just knowing, you know, what tools work, maybe what order to use them in, knowing that you're on the right journey. Because I think that's also some people say is like, what if I'm doing this and that's not the thing I should be doing right now, or what, you know, because we all need that support. I think, like, you know, I work with a nutritional coach just now because I want to change things, you know, and I've read lots of stuff and I'm pretty healthy, but I'm like, do I do this? Do I do that? I don't really know which order. So, you know, I work with someone who's got that expertise who will guide me through that. And so, yeah, I mean, the things that help us change are not difficult. It's just, it takes a lot of practice. You know, if you're going to change 20, 30, 40 years of thinking one way, it just takes a bit of time, but it's entirely possible. Read the inspiring stories and remember that's not just because who they are. This can happen to you as well. It's not a certain group of people that transform or succeed. We all have that capacity to change our lives. We all have that capacity to have that transformational story. Whatever success means to you, whether it's being a millionaire with a Ferrari or it's just waking up smiling every day, whatever that level is for you, we all have that capacity to transform our lives, to be in control of our lives. No matter what you've been through, you can do it. Really, I can't stress that enough. You have the right to live that life. You have the right to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, goosebumps all over.
I have to stop and I just keep going on. I just feel so
no, I
so
love
strong.
It.
And you know, like when you're focused, when you're clear on what it is, and that's the thing, is like when people say, well, I don't know what would make me happy. And that's one of my passions as well. It's like I talk about having intentional happiness, that you've got to be clear on what that is, not what you're told will make you happy, because this is where another issue comes in, where we're really told that if you have lots of certain material goods, etc., then you will be happy. You know, working out what will make you happy and then intentionally every single day proactively in your life pursuing them, that's how you become happy and that's how you remain happy. I mean, we do it ourselves. I mean, aren't we in a really fortunate position in May 2020? I started that sentence. Now I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's a challenging time with the pandemic. It's a really challenging time. And I know for many people financially and employment wise, everything there's, and some people are in horrendous situations as we cope through this. But we're also given a space to really pause and reflect right now. And, you know, we're often extremely busy and we go through life. And I don't know how many times clients say to me, oh, I love reading, but I don't have time to read. Or, you know, I love traveling, but I don't have time to travel. Or I love going to museums, but I never have time to do this. I'm thinking, but that makes you happy. Why are you not doing it? You know, so this is a time to really, truly reflect on, like, what's the stuff every day that makes you happy? What's important? You know, is it family? Is it friendships? Is it doing something you love? Is it just hugging your cats? Is it reading books? You know, whatever. Is it that you love? Whatever that is it dancing to music? Whatever it is that makes you happy, make sure as we go into the new normal, whatever that's going to be, think about what it is you want to take into that and what you want to change and what you can focus on every day, and make sure you prioritize that, because that's the stuff that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in the stuff that doesn't make you happy. Focus on the stuff that does. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Be proactive, not reactive.
That's a recipe for success. Yeah. It's like, oh, this works. And if things make you actively unhappy, you know, like I like to give a great example for, you know, this 2020 year, which is like, I've been pretty stable in terms of my panic attacks and all of that for two or three years now, which is amazing. You know, it was amazing progress for me at the time. And I got caught up into reading Facebook news feeds and conspiracy theory and government this, that, and the other thing. And I couldn't sleep. I was totally anxious. It's bedtime and I'm like yammering at my partner about like, you know, conspiracy theory stuff. And he's like, it's bedtime, Elena. Like, it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, you know, and it was like, oh, this isn't working. You know, Facebook was a really lovely place for me. March 20th or 12th or whatever happened, it's like, Facebook is no longer a safe place for me to just like hang out and scroll things. It's now a dangerous place for me to be. Yeah. And I've worked on curating my feed a little bit more, which I'd done previously, but it's like, oh, this is actively not working. If it's actively not working and it's a relatively quick change to just go, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, just make that change, right? I did. I was like, okay, you know, I'm limited to 10 minutes a day. It's only content posting. It's only responding to things I've posted. I'm not scrolling. And then it's like, oh, now I'm fine. It's like, wow. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, there's a combination of looking at the things that really aren't working. And you mentioned this sort of like past beliefs, past experiences, or behaviors that we're actively engaging in that are holding us back. And then also looking at what makes us happy and doing more of that. So like less of what doesn't work, more of what does work. Of course, you're going to see change on that spectrum of that happiness. Yeah. If you're actively making that a priority to create that experience for yourself.
It's so much in your control, isn't it? You know, that. Focus on what you do have control over. Right now, it's very easy to get up in what you don't have control over. You know, so you can't control what other people think of. You can't control what's going on right now with our situation. You can't control the government or whatever decisions have been made. But there's so many things that you can control. How you respond to things, what you do with your time, where you put your focus, working on yourself. There's so many things that you can. So focus on what you can control and find things that make you happy, or find coping techniques that work well. Like, you know, like scrolling on our phones is something that we do because it's very numbing, it's very disassociating behavior, you know, and often when we feel quite overwhelmed or stressed or anxious, it's what we do. We're kind of programmed now with our phones, and, you know, just to zone out for a while. And I know I do that as well. I do that sometimes, think, oh gosh, I need just 5 minutes to zone out and I'll scroll or something. But there's so many other great simple things that you could do, just if you feel like you're really overwhelmed or your brain's working too hard. You know, like psychologists call it getting into a flow state. We would probably call it more like getting in the zone. So finding activities, simple things where you can just be in the zone, because when you do that, you come out of that part of your brain that's overthinking and worry and self-conscious, and into another part where you're not accessing all those emotions, you know? So, you know, things like yoga and Tai Chi, sports, those things are great because you've got to focus on an activity mm-hmm. you know, and fully just on that activity, it challenges you enough that you've got to focus on it, but you're not mm-hmm. thinking about other things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes computer games can be like that in moderation, you know, that kind of stuff. I often do it with my son. We'll do jigsaw puzzles because, you know, that's a great mindful activity. You're in the zone. Or I love coloring. So now I've got a 5-year-old, perfect excuse for just coloring for hours, you know, but, you know, but mindful coloring is, I mean, everyone's got one of those books. Everyone got one for Christmas at some point. Get your book out. It sounds silly, but it's amazing. It just puts you in a different zone. Find something that's just maybe, what can we call it, a little bit healthier zone mm-hmm. to be in, and a healthier technique, you know, rather than just always on our phones. But there's so many other things that just 5 minutes a day just gives us our brains a break and really is so important for our mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my partner uses tea like that. He's got a little like Chinese tea set, makes like a little pot of tea, you know, the size of my hand. And it's just you know, instead of tea being, you know, a big thing, you make a big cup and you sit and you drink your cup. It's like, no, you have to pay attention to like adding the water, pouring the tea, pouring it into these tiny cups, pouring it into this. It's just like, part of me is like, oh, but like he likes it, you know? So that's great. For me, it would seem maybe like tedious, but it's a flow state. It's like, we're just moving through, moving things around, whatever that might be. And then flow states are part of what makes us happy too, right? When we're in flow state, that's a way of telling like, oh, this is something that makes me happy. Great. So mm-hmm. if everybody just mm-hmm. needs to be in more flow space, that's a good thing.
And then when you're doing that, and then you can connect with that feeling when you're not feeling so good or so happy, you remember that time, you can connect with that feeling. That's what I want to feel like, you know, you can really get back into that feeling. And that's really important.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about some of the things you've created to help people around being happy. You mentioned the intentional happiness circle and the daily happiness mm-hmm. moment journal, and then you've got an online club. Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit more about those.
Yeah, I'm really into it. So I've really created a number of ways to support people feel happy. So like, you know, if anyone wants to come over, I'm also on Facebook, and I've got a happiness club there. So that's just an online group, totally free. Really want to provide a lot of value and support for women out there. So there's lots of daily quotes and inspiration. We do lots of challenges and events. And I run an international happiness club. This is online. So it's for women all around the world, wherever you are. And we meet once per month. We've actually been meeting every week just now during the lockdown for extra support. But we meet once per month normally, and we explore different topics related to happiness. So different keys to happiness, you know. So we talk about things like gratitude, mindfulness, relationships, connection, all different things that are researched and proven to support our happiness and maintaining our happiness. And we just always have like these just really great discussions about it, and leave with some action points and stuff. And I like to throw in, you know, some science and research to really back up why this stuff really works, not just because I think it works or I've seen it, but, you know, like, you know, there's also really evidence why it works. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that, and it just draws really great women together. So that's all out there, and it's totally free. Every day on Instagram, you'll see me doing a daily happiness moment. And I created this. There's a lot of science why that works, but really to create this positive state of mind every day, to train our brains to be more positive rather than focus on the negative. And mm-hmm. we share our a daily happiness moment, something awesome that happens for you every day or made you happy. And it could be something small about sipping a cup of tea, or something really big. And so people share all these great things, and we have this lovely thread, which is nice. And it's just about to come out as an actual journal where you can use that as a tool to really train your brain to be more positive. So I do that. And then we're just about to launch an online coaching program, which is really taking you through the stages towards happiness. Everything from decluttering and visualization and goal setting, all the way up to like mindfulness and gratitude and everything. So that's going to be starting from the 1st of June. So there's loads going on. Never mind if I'm actually coaching one-to-one as well. So there's tons happening. And yeah, I run an intentional happiness circle, which is also, if that's something that you're interested in, how to be more intentional in that, it's a 12-month course that happens. That'll next quarter opens up in the 1st of July. And so we take you through how to live a more intentionally happy life. So if you head over to either the Happiness Club on Facebook or to julieleonardcoaching.com, you can get all that information and find out all the stuff that I'm doing. And anything at all, any questions, just hop on a call with me. I offer lots of free discovery calls. Come and have a chat with me if anything resonates or if any questions.
Wonderful. Oh, that's so great. You have so many resources. We got free resources. We got join in and do some coaching resources, group coaching, one-on-one coaching. You got all of it. You got all of it set up.
A lot going on. Something for everyone, hopefully.
Yeah.
Determined to get everyone happy.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you've worked with thousands of women over the years. So, you know, you're doing, doing your part. Gosh. There's only
30 years. So lots and lots of women. So many great transformations.
That's incredible.
And such an honor to meet incredible women that I have over the years. I love that. I just get to meet amazing people. So I've met so many wonderful, wonderful women and doing this as well now. This is me expanding my comfort zone and working on myself, is to get out there and talk and spread that message. I call myself a happiness evangelist as well. I want to get out there and spread the word that you can be happy, and there's tools out there and there's support out there. And so here's me coming out on these podcasts and chatting, which
good for you.
It's just great. So I get to meet you, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I feel this like beautiful kindred soul. Like we could have come from, you know, just like the same sort of soul, just like pop down over here in Scotland and one in Canada and this year and that year, and super super beautiful. Yeah, and it's really cool for me to see. I'm like, wow, you've like created so many of the things that I had in mind to create at some point. I was like, oh, I should do a daily.
Right.
You know, it's just like, oh, you already did it. How fantastic is that?
Yep, and you can do it too. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Beautiful. Well, before we wrap up for today, is there any last sort of gem or piece of wisdom that you'd like to share with people who are listening?
You put me on the spot there, haven't you? Mm-hmm. I guess I just want to sum up that just you can be proactive in your life. Be proactive. Be conscious in who you want to be, and know that you can be anything that you want to be. Really, you have the ability to live the life that you truly dream of, that you desire. And I mean that in a serious, not in a really flippant, airy-fairy way, but really, you do have the tools and the ability and the right to create the life that you want to lead, to be happy in your life, whatever happiness means to you. Don't compare it to anyone else or listen to what the shoulds be. Just work on what you feel is your level of happiness and do whatever it takes to get there. And please reach out to somebody and get that support, because that investment is just priceless to live the rest of your life feeling authentic and real and happy. So really, really strive to embrace and love your own authentic self.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Julie. I got full body goosebumps on that. I totally see you in your glory and and to, you know, spreading that message that you're meant to hear here to be. It's beautiful.
Remember, if you love the podcast, there's so much more on our website, bulletproofmoms.com, and we would so appreciate that you subscribe, share our podcast with your friends, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you're viewing this, as it helps us reach more people.
Even if I've tried to do this in the past and it's been unsuccessful, or I've given up and I felt like I could never change, I can completely change that.
Follow your breath and you contract those intrinsic muscles. As you follow your breath and you bring that breath all the way up to that pineal gland and you hold your breath.
One of the most valuable concepts that I personally learned is that in order to reach the level of success, self-confidence, and prosperity that you want, you have to brainwash
yourself.
Yes, brainwash yourself. See, either way it goes, you're going to be brainwashed. But the question is, who's doing the brainwashing?
Hey guys,
Entropy thank you so much for being on that journey with me. It's been a work of love to create such a journey, and I invite you to come and be part of the tribe, come be part of the experience, and get your full access pass so that you can see all of the things that are being created, experience all of the things that are being created. This is literally just a demo and just a toe in the ice of what is available in terms of audio and content that is highly programmable into your subconscious in your highest possibility. And so I thoroughly encourage you, if you are into personal development, if you watch this thing all the way to the end, there's clearly something here for you, and I want to have you as part of the tribe. So I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day, and I'll see you on the other side in the tribe.
Sugar addiction and addiction in general, and she filled me with this beautiful knowledge and power that I always knew was inside me, but just needed, I think, a little bit of coaxing to come out. I can actually tell that there's been a big shift, and it's not just superficial. It's on a fundamental level. My thought processes are different, and that's such a beautiful gift, because I've been working really hard to get rid of this sugar addiction, as I'm sure a lot of people are. And you know, I lost a ton of weight, and then I hit that plateau, and there's that one thing that's super hard to beat. And thanks to Elena, I think I definitely have it. This time I'll beat the addiction to sugar.
I'm on a big mission to end family trauma in this generation, and so I'm working with conscious moms to create a powerful change where we can become bulletproof, where we have no triggers, where our children cannot touch us, no matter what they throw at us, so that we can be the kind of moms that we needed and the kind of moms that we want to be for this new generation, so that we can end rape, we can end trauma, we can end neglect, we can end sexual shame, we can end consumerism, we can end screen addiction, we can end all of these things by how we choose to parent and how we show up in the world. So I invite you to be here on this journey with me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on the other side. So get your name and email in that box and join me on this journey. It's going to be an incredible 7 days where you are guided every day to understand how to create better habits, how to not give up, and how to implement the 60-second hack to rewire your brain so that you know that no matter what's happening, you'll come back to a loving place fast. Love you. I'll see you on the other side.
Present moment and your future, but also your perceptions of your past, so that you look at your past and your life and you already see all of the places where you have integrated this change and had been previously unaware of it. Thank you so much for being here today with me, and you've done great work today, not only for yourself, but for our collective consciousness. I'll see you here tomorrow. Have a beautiful day.